On the show today, we have credit union core processing marketing legend John Sanfilippo talking about his recent article in CU Times, A Credit Union's Guide to Your Next Core Processor. And this is kind of what this interview is all about. A credit union guide to your next core processor was an article that I saw in a recent issue of CU Times, and it kind of piqued my interest. And I went, "Wow, let's get John on the show to talk about this stuff because it was a darn good article." So,
sir.
So, I mean, like I said, we started out back at the same company, and you worked at Symitar for quite a few years, and now you're doing your own thing.
On and off and on again. Okay.
But you know the credit union core processing market in and out. I mean,
I would like to think so.
Yeah, you know your stuff, sir. So, I mean, so when writing this article, I mean, how do you know when it's time for a credit union to look for a new core processor? It's kind of like having that old car and can you get one more year out of it type of thing? Or what's the synopsis here?
The two things are, first, I think it's important that you're really sure that you need a new core platform. Because as I mentioned in that article, sometimes you'll think, oh, gee, I wish my core did such and such. And it's really hard to keep up on releases year over after year after year after year. And you might find if you go to your core processor and say, hey, I really need this, you might find that got put in three releases ago and you just, you know, your IT people just didn't notice. So it's really important that you inventory the capabilities of your current system to make sure you really need a new core. And then once you make the determination that you do need something new, I think you're better off to do it sooner rather than later, because the longer you drag it out, the more miles you try to get out of that old beater, the more miserable you're going to be. And if you're going to have to do it anyways, you might as well do it now.
Exactly. Yeah, good point. I mean, when you say take stock of your current system, what do you mean exactly by that?
Well, it's just what I was talking about. Make sure that you know not only what you want to get into, but what you're getting out of, and make sure you have a good understanding of what you're losing, because there's going to be some features of your old system that you like better than the new system. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it works. So make sure you fully understand everything that you're losing, not just what you're gaining.
Yeah, I mean, you know, core conversions are no easy task, and it seems like they're getting more complicated as the years go on. With just because of the technology, that's just kind of the way it is. And so it's almost kind of like pulling teeth, you know, it's like, and a lot of us, we don't like change. We want to stay the same.
Right. But, yeah. I mean, if you're lucky, you can get in and out of this industry and never have to do a core conversion.
That would be lucky.
I'd be very lucky.
So let's hang on a second. Had a phone call, but we took care of that. So if you decide to look for a new core, I mean, should you choose a consultant or go it alone, or just depends on what experience you have in house?
Yeah, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer even for that. There's not for who you choose, and there's not for whether or not to use a consultant, because there's some big shops out there that are very sophisticated. They have big IT budgets. They've got very seasoned, very experienced people. Mm-hmm. Some of them may have been through big RFPs before for other types of products or even other core conversions. Mm-hmm. Institutions. If you're 100% confident that you can do it on your own, you might as well do it on your own. On the other hand, the thing about a consultant is that they look at these all the time. They do many of them every single year. Mm-hmm. So, like I said earlier, you might be lucky and not have to do one. But if you get stuck, it's probably going to be the only one you do in your career. So why not go with an expert? It's just like changing your oil. It's not that hard to change your oil, but I'd rather go to Jiffy Lube and let some guy do it in 15 minutes while I sit there and drink a Diet Coke, and then I'm out the door.
Exactly. Have somebody else do it. All right. And so you provide two choices when choosing a new core, a big and old, or small and agile. Can you explain this, sir?
Well, that's kind of, I mean, how the market looks right now, because you've got all the big players, all the names that everybody knows. There's, you know, four or five of them, and I won't mention them by name necessarily. And they've got them all. I don't want to say older, because old has that negative connotation, and I don't mean it in a negative way. They've just been around longer,
and
that can be a very good thing, because there's a lot of feature richness baked into those old systems because they've been around so long. They've had a lot of time to mature and get to a point where they have just about everything you need.
Right. There's financial soundness as well in there, as I think you pointed out in your article.
Right. And then on the other hand, you've got a handful of relatively new core platforms that have sprung up in the last few years. And I have to tell you, it's really been surprising to me that there are so many newer players in this market because of the compliance issues. It seems, you know, when I was at Symitar, I knew how much effort, how much money had to go into keeping Episys compliant.
Yeah.
And it was insane, and it's getting more and more insane. So I'm surprised that there's smaller companies willing to take that plunge, but there are, and a lot of them seem to be doing quite well.
Yeah. So it's just basically what you prefer. I mean, do you prefer the established system or something brand new?
It has a lot to do with your tolerance for risk, because back in the day there was an old saying that nobody ever got fired for buying IBM. And it's true. I mean, you go with one of those big companies, it's a safer decision. Mm-hmm. But some might argue the credit unions that go with these smaller companies might argue that you know, in playing it safe, you're kind of limiting yourself. And especially today, maybe you need to be out on the cutting edge a little more than you used to.
Yeah, exactly. And so another thing that's kind of come to my mind is there's a lot of third party players out there right now that want to plug into the cores. What do you say about that? Because I mean, that's like a super prevalent part of a credit union's business plan. So I mean, what's your advice there?
Well, it's funny you should bring that up, because I think that being nimble and agile is going to be even more and more important when it comes to technology. Because when you talk about third-party products, traditionally it's just suddenly home banking is a thing, so everybody needs to plug in a home banking. Or suddenly mobile banking is a thing, so you need to plug in mobile. But I was just watching a 60 Minutes segment about the quote-unquote fintech revolution and all these little startup companies that are trying to take business away from banks and credit unions by offering better technology. This particular segment was about the guys that started Stripe. And they started Stripe because, you know, they wanted, I forget what business they were trying to start, and they wanted a credit card processing account, and they were pissed off because it took them, you know, 3 days to apply for this account. And they were saying how if you sign up with Stripe, you can be, your online store can be up and running in 10 minutes or whatever it was. Now, the two things that struck me there is I found that hard to believe just because of the compliance stuff. There's things like OFAC that have to play into that whole taking payments and moving money around stuff. So I was a little skeptical about that. But the other thing is about technology is that there's nothing that they're doing that a credit union couldn't do if they had the right technology to help them do it. So my take on this whole fintech revolution is these little dinky companies aren't doing anything that a credit union can't do. Plus, the credit union has the benefit of being a credit union. Right. They can offer full service stuff. They can offer it all, not just this one little piece that this one little startup can do.
Right.
It's all a matter of just finding the right partners to do those things. And that's where being more nimble and more flexible is going to get more and more important, because you're going to have to not only react to the bank down the street adding a new service, but all these fringe players coming up with all this new stuff. And some of it's going to, you know, a lot of it's not going to stick, but some of it will. And you got to be able to latch onto that stuff too.
Exactly. And you brought up compliance as well, because you have to deal with the third party folks. You have to make sure you have to do your due diligence there as well. I mean, there's a lot on a credit union's plate these days.
Yeah, and that's the thing with this 60-minute segment on these Stripe guys is they, of course, they're not going to touch on that, on compliance and bore everybody to death that's watching 60 Minutes, but it's a question. It's the first thing I thought of is, what are these guys doing about compliance?
I think it's probably the first thing a lot of credit unions are thinking too, because we live it every day, my gosh. All right, sir, any other nuggets of core wisdom to wrap up here? I mean, you have a wealth of experience in this area. Anything else to part us with?
I guess my only parting words would be that there really is, In all the questions you asked, there really isn't a one-size-fits-all answer. You know, do you go, you know, a bigger company with older technology or a smaller company with newer technology? It's going to be a different answer for every credit union. You know, do it on your own or you do go through a consultant for your search. It's going to be different for every credit union. And that's the thing. It's good that credit unions are so open in their communication with each other, but I think sometimes credit unions tend to just default to that. You know, what are my friends doing? I'll do that too. And that can be a safe thing, but it's not necessarily the best thing for your credit union. So I think credit unions just need to put a lot into due diligence and understanding their specific needs and realizing that they're not the credit union down the street. They're a unique, you know, financial institution. They have to make decisions based on that.
Know yourself. Know thyself. All right. Well, John, thanks again for the time today. And again, if anybody wants to refer back to the article, which is a very well-written article, A Credit Union's Guide to Your Next Core Processor. So I will put a link in the show notes so people can get right to it and check it out. But
Perfect.
keep up the good work, man. Appreciate the
All right.
time.
Thanks a lot for your time, Mike.
Anytime.